From Cowdersport to Greenville, Lafayette Hill to Latrobe, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, lawmakers have failed to pass a new state budget on time as the Democrat-controlled House is blocking a new school choice program supported by Governor Josh Shapiro and Senate Republicans. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is here to host a Capitol Watch roundtable discussion with Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation. And from the halls of the Ivy League to your local schoolhouse door, education issues are dominating this summer's policy discussion. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capitol Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Breaking his deal with Senate Republicans, Governor Josh Shapiro this week vowed to veto a school choice measure, paving the way for passage of the 2023-24 state budget in the state House. Labor unions and House Democrats had pressured Shapiro on the school choice initiative, which would provide scholarships to allow students in the state's worst performing school districts to seek other educational options. The program, however, was the top priority of Senate Republicans, who gave the governor more of his priorities in exchange for his support of the program. Shapiro's double cross left Republican legislative leaders furious. House Republican leader Brian Cutler said Shapiro, quote, chose political convenience over students. Senate President pro tempore Kim Ward said, quote, it is a shame the governor does not have enough respect and standing within his own party to follow through on his promises, end quote. Much fiscal enabling legislation remains to be passed, so the budget battle is likely to continue into the fall. A new survey conducted by the Commonwealth Foundation found younger residents are leaving Pennsylvania due to high taxes and an overall high cost of living. According to the Center Square, more than half of the respondents between the ages of 18 and 44 have considered moving to another state or know someone who wants to do the same. Also cited as reasons for looking elsewhere to live include lower crime, more job opportunities, better schools, more health care, and school choice. Philadelphia and Allegheny County, which includes the city of Pittsburgh, are ranked 6th and 10th nationwide for population loss. Meanwhile, collar counties around both cities are experiencing some growth. As the education establishment clamors for hundreds of millions more dollars for government-run schools, data gleaned from a report from the National Education Association, one of the nation's largest teacher unions, found that Pennsylvania teachers already earn almost 10% more than the national average. Average teacher salary in Pennsylvania for the 2021-22 school year was just over $73,000. And while Governor Josh Shapiro and Democrats in the legislature claim there is a teacher shortage, the Center Square reports that data compiled by the NEA actually found there was a slight increase in the number of teachers working in public schools. Keith Liepart, a physician who is also involved in a number of entrepreneurial and philanthropic ventures, has been nominated for a seat on the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. Liepart reportedly has bipartisan support in the state Senate and is likely to soon join the five-member commission. He says he will focus on improving the fare collection system, which has been under scrutiny for the large amount of uncollected toll revenue. And Liepart says he will work to reduce the size of the annual fare increases, which have made the turnpike the most expensive toll road in the world. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Governor Josh Shapiro and state Senate Republicans have come to an agreement on the state budget, but the plan was not approved by the June 30th deadline, as House Democrats are demanding over $1 billion more in new spending. Here with the details is our Capitol Watch crew, David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation, and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. David?
And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capital Watch All-Stars. From the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, President and CEO, Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, thanks for being on the program.
Awesome to be here again, Dave. Thank you.
You betcha. And my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, great to see you.
Thank you, David. Pleased to be here.
Well, we are in the middle of more budgetary intrigue, and folks, as we are sitting here recording this program, we've had a major development. We may be overtaken by events by the time that you hear the sound of our voices, but we're going to give it to you straight as we know it right now. So, Steve, I'll throw it to you. There was just a statement issued by Governor Shapiro about how the House, controlled by Democrats, should move forward with the state budget that was approved by the Republican-controlled state Senate.
And Governor Shapiro has announced preemptively that the general appropriations bill that the Senate passed and sent over to the House late last week is now – it's got a certain provision in it regarding the Lifeline or PASS scholarship, which was an educational savings account opportunity for students of the 15% of the worst performing schools in Pennsylvania.
The kids who are stuck in the lowest 15% of Pennsylvania's 500 school districts.
So a transformative program that would have helped the kids most in need of help all across the state. The governor has announced preemptively that he will veto, he will use a line item veto to strike that particular item from the general appropriations bill, which he has the authority as governor to do. If a bill reaches his desk, a budget bill in particular, and a spending bill, he can veto a single line out of the bill rather than veto the whole bill. And that's been done by a few other governors. It's not common, but it can happen. So he's threatened and stated publicly he's going to do that in an effort to apparently generate enough votes in the House amongst his own Democratic Party and the Republicans in the House to send that bill to his desk. I'm not sure that's going to be the outcome that actually occurs, but that's what I think his strategy is.
Right. So it appears that we are stuck, that the state – we're past the constitutional deadline. The fiscal year ended on June 30, so we're in the new fiscal year. There's no general fund budget. That's not unprecedented that it goes into the first days of the new fiscal year. But the governor said that he did not want to have a protracted budget battle, and that in the House that there were not enough votes on the Democrat side for – or not even that there weren't the votes. It was that the Democrat leadership said that this Lifeline scholarship to help the kids who are trapped in the worst performing schools, that it's unacceptable for the Democrat leaders to have that provision.
Viciously opposed by the public sector unions, in particular the Pennsylvania State Education Association, which is the teachers union that represents many, many, many of the public school teachers in Pennsylvania, as well as other teachers unions such as the American Federation of Teachers, which has some of the urban school districts under its watch in terms of members. So this loud opposition was occurring from the educational establishment, the public sector unions.
Which is a core Democrat constituency.
Trying to portray these Lifeline PASS scholarships as some sort of an existential threat to the success of students and the funding of public schools, when in fact the opposite is true. A, the budget that we're talking about tonight includes a massive increase of public education spending yet again, as happens virtually every year in Pennsylvania.
Right.
We're one of the highest educational spending states in the nation, and we continue to be. It is an important step toward actually finally correcting the situation for these poor kids who are stuck in these official, by state data, recognized 15% bottom school districts in the state.
Right.
These kids are trapped. They're not able to get an education. The schools are chronically deficient. Very few of the students at any grade level are even proficient in the skills they're supposed to have. This is a lifeline, a way out, a pass for these kids to finally get access to a decent education. And here is Governor Shapiro saying, of all the hundreds of millions of dollars, of all the billions of dollars being spent in this budget, this $100 million line for Lifeline must be cut out.
Mm-hmm.
These kids must be consigned to a future of hopelessness rather than have an opportunity, because the public sector unions don't want this.
Yeah, it's a very strange and I think kind of dangerous gambit on the part of the governor. And of course, it's already done that he made this, you know, public pronouncement that this is how he would like things to move forward. Because the Senate, which is controlled by the Republicans, because this was a priority for the Senate leadership, for the governor to say, I'm going to take the blade to this particular thing personally with my pen, that I will cut this out after having campaigned on it, saying that he was for it, and then, you know, working with the Senate to get it
and
passed
then going
with
on
it.
Fox News just a week ago nationwide,
yes,
proclaiming his support for it.
Yes.
The top three leaders in the Senate, President Pro Tem Kim Ward, the Majority Leader Joe Pittman, and the Majority Appropriations Chair Scott Martin have all vocally and continuously and vociferously supported the lifeline or past scholarship concept from the get-go in this budget negotiation. It was their – essentially their one must-have piece. They
Correct.
Warned time and time again
Correct.
That if lifeline past scholarships are not in the budget, then the goodies or the trades for things that the Democratic-controlled governor's office wants – are going to disappear.
Yeah.
It's a shame for the kids that will be missing out on those opportunities because I think we all agree that they deserve every opportunity that they can get to be successful, and they're not getting it right now in the public school system. So it's a shame for them, but it's also a shame, like you said, because of the precedent that's being set here by the governor, unfortunately. And it was a missed opportunity, I think. It was an opportunity for leadership on his part.
As the listeners know, from the outset, we have been hopeful. We've been cautiously optimistic that when the governor, in his budget address said that, you know, that in an era of divided government, that we're going to have to, you know, play this game between the 40-yard lines and, you know, find a way forward. And that, you know, by now having spectacularly, given in to a far left special interest, with no warning, I'm afraid this is going to leave us in a very bad situation going forward.
He's burned some bridges here that are going to be hard to get back.
And well, yeah, that's true. And I'm just thinking back to the Governor Wolf's first budget, which was an enormous tax increase. And it sort of set the tone for his next seven budgets, did it not?
No doubt that out of the gate, that the confrontational nature of Governor Wolf and his approach, his my way or the highway, the so-called lone wolf approach,
right,
very much set the tone for the rest of his administration.
So, yeah, I hope we're not in for that similar circumstance like
same
that.
Same here. Gosh. So you're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Steve Bloom from Commonwealth Foundation. So, this statement by the governor about his recommended plan forward, whether or not it works, it really is he'd like pulled the pin and rolled the grenade into the middle of the room.
And it was already tense, as any budget negotiation over a sum in the neighborhood of $45 billion tends to be. It's not as if as these folks are all old pals. They're in large measure political rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes gumption and a willingness to be pragmatic and diplomatic to negotiate a budget in any state, especially a state with divided government, with a Republican-controlled Senate, a slim Democratic majority in the House, and a Democratic governor. It's not something you throw a grenade into lightly. To be able to have the level of trust to be able to function as a governing team, which essentially the voters of Pennsylvania had said, okay, here's our team,
right?
Republican Senate, slightly Democratic House, Democratic governor. Now, you guys go get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ability to get it done is taking a big, big setback today with the announcement that Governor Shapiro decided to unilaterally, preemptively
surrender an important policy point. Yeah,
a critical piece of the budget, which he had been on the record of supporting. So, boy, it's I've watched, 10 or 12 of these budgets over the years closely, and it's been I've not seen a stunt like this at the 11th hour with the budget deadline of June 30th already being shot, with the possibility of really sending things into a protracted stalemate.
Right, because the the Senate has recessed until September, and they're not planning to come back. They've, you know, that Leader Pittman said, look, our work product was submitted. It's up to the others to get it done. If the House would somehow pass the Senate version of the budget and send it to the governor, and the governor would then, you know, cut out that program, it could become law in that fashion. But as we said, that would be a real double cross of the Senate and Rebecca, like you said, the concessions that they made in return for getting that final work product.
There are associated code bills that go with the budget typically that some of them spell out how these funds would be for other programs, how these funds would be distributed and used. And the Senate has those bills still sitting in the Senate chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's unlikely. I can't speak for them, but I think it's unlikely at this point that they'll let those go forward.
Mm-mm.
So they're creating a tangled mess that, again, is only going to exacerbate the impasse and really is the opposite of the sort of pragmatic, practical approach that I think most voters have been led to believe that Governor Shapiro was pursuing.
Yeah. And it's – you know, and I can't get past the point about the needs – of these students. And I don't think we should look past it. They ought not to just be political pawns. These are kids, Pennsylvania kids, here and now, today, who are stuck in badly underperforming, badly dysfunctional schools. Those kids are living out their youths in real time. You know, a kid only gets to be in the age for third grade once. And to miss out that fourth grade, fifth grade, to allow these kids to continue down a path that we all know is going to lead them to a life of diminished hope, diminished positive outcome for them. I'm losing the words. I get angry. Please forgive me. That these kids need this. That, and again, it's one of the fundamental problems that we have with government today, that it's not about price, it's about value. You know, Steve, as you said, Pennsylvania is one of the top spenders in America on public K through 12. The question is, what kind of value are our students and their families receiving from this massive outlay of taxpayer money? And of course, from the business community view, also that we need those young people to have an educational experience that is rigorous and meaningful and prepares them for success in life, including success in the workplace, because obviously our employers are major taxpayers as well, and that this is supposed to be the foundation of our job training workforce preparedness efforts. Of course, there are other separate programs and whatnot that come later, but like basic K through 12 education, literacy, numeracy, the ability to communicate and understand, basic studies in a basic proficiency in being able to think, being able to read and write, follow instructions, all those sorts of things. Like if our young people don't get that quality of experience in school, then they're either going to be unemployable, God forbid, or it's going to require an extreme amount of remediation after the fact to try to get those young people to a level where they can contribute meaningfully in the workplace. It's like it shouldn't be this difficult. It really should not be. And the fact that we have allowed this dysfunctional system to go on year after year, that we continue to just like shovel money in the furnace and make a sacrifice to the gods that somehow that this will get better by voodoo if we just keep spending money. Like this has got to stop. We've got to get results for our young people right now, today.
Yeah, and those young ages that you're talking about, the kids in K through 12, you alluded to this, but the employers are finding nowadays that they're really missing out on soft skills too. And it, obviously those grades are where they're building their foundational skills for mm-hmm. academics, obviously. But it's also in second, third, fourth grade where they're building soft skills.
Right.
How do you operate in a classroom? How do you listen to instructions?
How do you control your impulses?
Exactly. So those types of soft skills are built in those years too. And we know employers say that kids are coming out of school without basic soft skills. So when we have these low performing skill, these are the failing school districts that we're talking about here.
Right.
They're failing the kids.
Right.
So totally agree with you. The business community has a stake in this for sure.
And this is not a partisan issue. This whole notion that we have to have schools that actually teach our kids what they need to know to work and to thrive in the workplace and in life. In the Senate, Democratic Senator Anthony Williams courageously voted yes for the Lifeline Scholarships bill, despite tremendous pressure from the teachers' unions that were really trying to intimidate him out of voting yes for it. And we know there's some Democrats in the Senate who genuinely supported it. It polls incredibly well. All the polling our organization has done over several years shows somewhere in the ballpark of 70-80% of all Pennsylvanians from all political parties support ESAs, educational savings accounts, like the PASS or Lifeline scholarship programs. So this is bipartisan, will make a huge difference, and now, unfortunately, it's under threat from politicians being politicians.
And to their everlasting shame, the leaders in the Democrat leaders in the state house, many of them have districts that include those bottom performing 15% school districts. So these are lifelines that they are preventing their own constituents and their kids from receiving. It just blows my mind that somehow the goodwill and political support of a trade union is more important than those actual kids in their own districts. So anyway, this is the drama as we are witnessing it. And again, we're going to stay on top of this for all you folks who are kind enough to listen to us, spend your time with us. And as we're winding down here, we'll go around the horn. Steve, where can people go to learn more about you and your organization and the things that you do?
They can check on CommonwealthFoundation.org.
Outstanding. Rebecca, where can people track you down?
They can find the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association at PMTA.org.
Wonderful. And as always, you can find me online at PAManufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. So from Steve and Rebecca and me, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. From the halls of the Ivy League to your local schoolhouse door, education issues are dominating this summer's policy agenda. The political fault lines are defined by the left's adherence to race-based policies and fealty to labor unions. On the right, the focus is on education freedom and empowering families. The Supreme Court of the United States ended its session in June by slaying two of the education cabal's most sacred cows. The High Court finally recognized that the racist policy, euphemistically dubbed affirmative action, is clearly unconstitutional given that it discriminates against applicants based on skin color. Applicants of Asian heritage in particular were being harmed by the policy, which admitted students based on race rather than on objective qualifications. President Joe Biden's so-called student loan forgiveness program was also ruled unconstitutional by the justices. Despite the fact that he himself had voiced doubts about the legality of the program, Biden predictably attacked the court's decision. He had attempted to bypass Congress by creating a $30 billion taxpayer giveaway program by administrative fiat. The court's ruling essentially affirmed the legislative branch's power of the purse. Here in Penns Woods, higher education is also in the spotlight. State House Republicans blocked passage of an appropriation to state-related universities. That included Penn State, the University of Pittsburgh, Temple, and Lincoln University. Governor Josh Shapiro had proposed a significant increase in funding for those universities. However, they refused demands from lawmakers to pledge to freeze tuition. Multiple other controversies also surround the universities. Questions have arisen over their failure to properly account to the legislature for how past dollars have been spent. Both Penn State and the University of Pittsburgh are under fire for the involvement of their related hospitals in providing gender transition services to children. There is ongoing concern over fetal research at the University of Pittsburgh. Both Pitt and Penn State have also come under fire from conservatives for institutional efforts to block conservative speakers and stifle free speech. As a way to sidestep the state-related funding issue, State Representative Eric Nelson of Westmoreland County has proposed bringing an end to all funding of institutions of higher learning and instead funding students directly, then letting them decide what school they wish to attend. That could be state-related, state system schools, community colleges, trade school, or private schools. Meanwhile, lawmakers missed passing the state budget by the June 30th deadline, with education funding the main sticking point. Governor Josh Shapiro and State Senate Republicans agreed on a $45.5 billion spending plan, which the Senate passed on time. House Democrats, however, failed to act in a timely manner, pushing for billions more in spending. The Senate-passed budget, backed by Governor Shapiro, includes $150 million more for tax credit scholarship programs. It also includes $100 million to create the Pennsylvania Award for Student Success Initiative, or PASS, formerly known as the Lifeline Scholarship Program. The program would provide funding to give children trapped by zip code in underperforming schools access to better education opportunities. It should be noted the Senate-passed budget also includes a basic education funding increase of $567 million for government-run schools. The funding for school choice initiatives is the one area where House Democrats don't want to spend more, and for that they have triggered a budget stalemate. State Representative Seth Grove of York County, the ranking Republican on the Appropriations Committee, pointed out that Democrats are opposing 0.2% of the state budget targeted to giving kids more education choices. In politics, a Nixon going to China moment means an elected official is in the unique position to forge a major accomplishment that no other politician could effectively accomplish. Governor Josh Shapiro had the opportunity for such a transformative moment by backing the PASS program. However, at the last minute, he caved to pressure from the labor unions and House Democrats and announced he would line-item veto the scholarship program. As a result of his epic double-cross, Governor Shapiro has in one fell swoop destroyed his credibility with legislative Republicans and trapped tens of thousands of children in underperforming schools, consigning them to a lifetime of educational struggle. In politics and policy, trust is a valuable commodity. Once lost, it is nearly impossible to regain. By breaking his deal with Senate Republicans and his campaign promise to voters, he has shown he is not a man whose word can be trusted. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 28 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WPDC-AM in Elizabethtown, WVMM-FM in Grantham, along with WFYL-AM in Jefferson, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.